中共即将举行二十大，在这次会议上，中共总书记习近平能否连任？中共高层的权力将如何重组？就这些问题，美国之音记者方冰近日专访了两位中国问题专家，我们现在就来连线方冰。方冰你好。
平常你好。
方冰先来给我们介绍一下你采访的专家和他们最近的著作。
好的，一位呢是加州大学圣地亚哥分校的政治经济学副教授史宗翰。今年五月呢，他出版的新书叫《软弱联盟：从毛泽东谋略到习近平崛起看中国的精英政治》。另一位呢是前美国《时代》杂志和 CNN 北京分社的社长吉米·佛洛克鲁兹，他的新书呢叫《北大七七集》，介绍了北京大学文革后首届本科生，这个班呢叫七七集，他的同学的不同的这个人生道路。在他的同学当中呢，包括了现任总理李克强、前重庆市委书记薄熙来和流亡美国的民主倡导者王军涛等。
那么您采访的这两位专家怎么看待习近平在中共二十大上连任的前景呢？
史宗翰教授认为习近平应该是可以顺利连任的，他以中共历史上毛泽东的例子来进行比较。我们来听史宗翰教授他怎么说。
毫无疑问，这个党内是没有真正的所谓挑战或者反对派来真正的去挑战习近平的权力。虽然就是有一些不太理想的经济上的结果发生了，然后这上海也出了一些这个不很理想的结果，对老百姓来说，但是这种政策的结果远远没有当年比如说大跃进死了那么多人，对吧，几千万人这种结果。但是就是当年死了那么多人，老毛那个时候还没有被这个搞下台，对吧，那个时候就是开了一个七千人大会，然后批评了一些毛主席的政策。今天呢就远远就没有这种结果，但是有一点就是李克强可能他是个人的也冒了一点点风险，他就是指出一些现有的政策上的一些问题，就是经济上的问题，然后就是疫情控制上也有一些问题，他就把这个问题指出来。那些比较靠近习近平的官员可能就他们就不敢把这些问题指出来。所以我觉得李克强他确实是就是那个什么站出这个习总的阴影有一点点吧，但是这不等于他挑战习近平的权力。如果我们看最近一些官员的提拔和调动的话，现在还是完全是习近平人被提上去，然后其他派系的官员他们提上到政治局的机会现在还是很少很少。
这是史宗翰的看法哈。那么另外一位中国问题专家，也就是刚才您所提到的北大七七集的作者吉姆·弗兰克鲁兹，他怎么看待习近平这个人呢？
是的，吉米佛洛克鲁兹他曾经在这个北大七七集跟这个中国总理这个李克强啊，还有这个前重庆市委书记薄熙来啊，他们都是同班的七七级，就是文革以后的第一批的这个本科生。而之后呢，他又这个做了美国《时代》杂志和 CNN 驻北京分社的社长，所以他基本上在中国生活了将近五十年。他认为习近平他是真的是相信中共是至高无上的。但是他认为习近平的挑战是他怎么样来实现他的信仰。具体说，那么当下就是在坚持清零政策的同时，怎么样来扭转经济大幅度的下滑。因此他认为总理李克强的角色会越来越重要。我们来听这个吉米弗洛克鲁兹他怎么说。
I think that, first, I believe that Xi Jinping believes in,Marxism and the primacy of the Communist Party. I think he deeply believes in that, and I expect him to to adhere to that. So the challenge or the question is how can he pursue his beliefs? Leaders, like all of us, are products of our time, right? And so in that sense, I think Xi Jinping also is a product of his time. I mean, I would like to think that he saw in his own experience what life was, you know, under the Mao period. He himself was spent some time in the countryside as a teenager. So I believe he knows the problems that China faced and why they had to be addressed. Are we going back to that period? I hope that these are just tactical moves. I would simply say that precisely because of the big problems that China faces now in terms of the economic impact of the pandemic, of the COVID pandemic, and partly because of the zero COVID policy that China has chosen to take, the impact on the economy, on trade, and many other aspects, I think, cannot be underestimated. So with this scenario in mind, the role of Li Keqiang as prime minister rises to that occasion. It grows bigger, and I think that explains why there are many rumors in the social media that he will at least stay, or he will, you know, go up or replace the number one. I don't know how much of that is wishful thinking on some for some people, but I can only conclude that the role of the prime minister in situations like this will be bigger, precisely because these are nitty-gritty issues. These are bread and butter issues that the government, the bureaucracy has to deal with. The responsibility is on the prime minister and his cabinet to deal with very specific, very concrete, tangible problems that China will face in the next few months as they deal with the impact of the pandemic. And I think eventually, if the Communist Party wants to remain in power, they need to address those issues. Bread and butter issues. They need the economy to keep growing. They need people to remain optimistic about the future, because that has been the successful formula for the past 30 years.
刚才两位专家也都提到，一方面在这个中共二十大前，习近平面临这个清零政策还有经济下滑的双重挑战。那么另外一方面呢，中国的总理李克强也被认为是走出了习近平的阴影哈，正在发挥这个拯救经济更大的角色。那么两位专家对于二十大上中共高层将如何重组有什么样的分析？
加州大学圣地亚哥分校的政治经济学副教授史宗翰说，他认为可能会有两种结果，一种呢就是习近平仍然无法在政治局常委里面摆脱现有的一些规矩，实现清一色的他的人马的这种布局；另外一种呢是打破现有的不成规矩，实现他的清一色的人马。啊，我们来听史宗翰教授怎么分析。
我觉得就基本上有两种结果，一种结果就是七上八下保持。如果保持七上八下的话，那这个李克强和汪洋和王沪宁也应该留在这个常委里面。然后虽然就是李总理已经说他不会连任当一个下一任的总理，但是他还可以留在常委里面，然后当一个人大主席或者是这个政协主席也有可能。如果是这样的话， 这那个在最高层还是有一种平衡吧，也不是挑战习近平的权力，但起码有一种平衡，就是如果政策上有一些比较大的问题的话，这种平衡的声音还会指出这个有一些问题，就是政策上的问题。但是这个只是未来五年的这个暂时的结果，就是21大以后，那就肯定是清一色习近平的人在常委和政治局里面。第二种可能的结果就是他可以修改这个规矩，就强迫那些67岁的同志们也先退下去。然后就如果是这样的话，那李克强、汪洋和王沪宁都得退下去。如果是这样的话，那就他可以大量的把他自己的人，比如说李强、李希、陈敏尔、丁学强，原来就应该会提上去常委里面。然后其他的他的那批官员，浙江、福建、西北的那帮人都提进去，提拔进去常委里面。如果是这样的话，那就基本上不会有任何的平衡的声音。
那说到李克强的这个政治前景哈，刚才你也提到了富兰克鲁兹呢曾经是李克强北大七七级的同学，那么他认为李克强是一个什么样的领导者呢？
基本上他认为李克强是一个精明低调的技术官僚。他说呢，这种性格从学生时代他认识李克强，到后来作为记者他观察李克强总理，那基本上是一致的。我先问了弗洛克鲁兹在学校的时候对李克强的印象，我们来听他怎么说。
李克强 at that time was in the law department, and I was in the history department. So we didn't really have regular or frequent interaction at that time. I've seen him a few times with other mutual friends from the law department. My impression was that he was, typically a young student at that time who came from outside Beijing, from, in his case, I think from Anhui, or he impressed me as somebody who looked very simple, kind of soft-spoken. He's very intelligent, well-versed in, in legal and economic issues. He obviously also is very familiar with the political landscape in China, especially at the top. I find him also, people will call it steady. He did not do or say anything bold, not publicly at least. So he seemed to be a hard worker who preferred to stay in the, not in the background, but just to focus on what he's expected to do, and not appear to be the number one leader when he is not the number one. So in that sense, I think he played his role very well. He knew where he stood. He knew his strength was in running the bureaucracy and overseeing the economy. So in that sense, I thought he was a perfect choice to be the premier of China. The same way that Zhou Enlai played the number two position under Mao.
很有意思的第一手观察。好的，谢谢方斌的连线报道。